you will this morning, turn back to John 14, where our text will be found. And our text this morning will be in verse 27. John 14, 27. And it reads this way: "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let us pray. O Lord, how great Thou art and how merciful Thou art. Thank You, Lord, for Thy faithfulness to preserve us once again, to preserve this place and preserve our health and to bring us here this day, Lord. I thank Thee that Thou art faithful. I pray, Lord, now that You prepare our hearts and our minds, that You would bring them to Thy feet. Lord, in Thy great mercy, You would allow crumbs to fall from Thy table, that they would indeed nourish us this morning and feed our souls, that You'd be pleased to reveal Thyself in our souls, that You would show us, Lord, this peace that You have left with us. Lord, show us the difference between this peace and the world's peace. And Lord, may You attest to us today that we are in the number, Lord, that You have called and that You have placed inside of Thee. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week I spoke to you about the rest that we have in Christ Jesus, and this verse was the last verse I used to support the rest that we have in Christ as we were leaving at the end of the message. And unbeknownst to me, that was the word that the Lord had laid on my heart this week. So I want to look a little bit deeper about what this peace is that the Prince of Peace gives us. I've already mentioned that John 14, you know, when we come to this hallowed ground of Scriptures and this last message that the Lord would preach, He would preach it just to His inner circle, His 11, as He was equipping them to go out and be ministers of His. And it was a very close time, and the Lord, those four chapters, if you have time this week, I pray the Lord leads you there to read them. They're all the words of Christ. It's all read. And it's truly peace from one end to the other of what the Lord has given us in Himself. And so I come to our text this morning, and I notice the very first thing that Jesus says is peace that I leave with you. He has told them all along that He's going away. And as you read this morning with me, some of them weren't grasping that. And they didn't really grasp it. They still didn't believe it until the day that these events took place. And then it was readily starting to be believed by them because they saw these events falling out. But Jesus says something to them today, and He says that this peace is something that I'm going to leave with you. And so as those disciples were left the peace of Christ as He ascended into heaven, that tells us something as we live today, that same peace is the peace that He has left for us. It's not a peace that ascended with Him into heaven. It's something that He gives to His people. And He tells us that in the second line. He says, "My peace I give unto you." So it's a gift. It's not something that you can earn. It's not something that you can bring your mind to. It's not something that you can assent to by just holding on to something or thinking good thoughts. And I thought about that as I read this chapter this morning. The way this chapter starts out, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Me, believe also. You believe in God, believe also in Me." As soon as he starts talking to them, He establishes the oneness that the Father has, that He and the Father are one. But then He establishes the oneness that they all have in you. That the body of Christ, the church of Christ, and being in Christ, has this same union with the Father because of Christ. So He tells them, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He tells them this very comforting thought: "I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord now is reigning on the right hand of His Father, and He has prepared a place for us. It's there. Everything has been wrought out. When He said, "It is finished," He guaranteed the salvation of all of His people. When he came up out of the grave, he guaranteed eternal life for all of his people, that the grave would never hold them. When he ascended up into heaven, he assured them that until they come, until he brings them there, and he says he comes back for them again, that he will be with them. And he will be with them with peace. Peace is something we define in many different ways. But in our text today, he says in 18, if you follow me over there to 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. The Greek word there means orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. Even though I'm leaving you now as your big brother, your father, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He is going to reveal to you everything that I've ever taught you. That had to be trying to them. Everything, they followed Jesus for 2.5 years of His ministry, and they saw Him, and He said a lot of things. And if you're like me, you forget things. You forget the things that happened the week before. We're so much in need of the Holy Spirit to bring to us and to reveal to us the things of Christ. Because we can't memorize them. Because we can't. And even if we do, it's not going to be any good for us. Because if we bring it to ourselves, as the Pharisees did, as they wrote the things on the phylacteries and stuck them on their forehead or hemmed them into their clothing so that then they could pick it up and read it every time they got in trouble. That's not what the Lord is to His people. He reveals His peace to them in their hearts and in their mind and within them. And so He says to them, I will not leave you without a father. I will not leave you without care. I will not leave you to fend for yourself. I will come to you. That's amazing because He just told them He was leaving. He tells them that I will come to you, but it won't be in a physical manner anymore. We don't look for Jesus in a cross. We don't look for Him in a picture. We don't look. That's why I don't ascribe to any of those things that are idols. They mean nothing. It doesn't matter to me what somebody's rendition of what Jesus looked like. It doesn't matter because we don't know. Nobody was alive. We can just think and somebody can say, well, this is what most people look back at that time. That's fine. But none of that should mean anything to you. That's not how the Lord comes to us. He's reigning in heaven. He comes by the power of the Holy Ghost to reveal in your soul that He's near you, that He's watching over you, that He loves you, that He is your protector, that He is your life. That's what the next verse says. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you will see me. Why? He just told him he was going away, but he says, you'll see me. These are the peaceful things he's leading them. Because you'll see me, because I live, you shall live also. They're going to watch him die. And that's what I'm saying. Those 3 days that he was in the tomb were sorrowful days for the disciples. They really believed he was gone forever. They weren't looking in anticipation. They weren't gathering at the grave waiting for him to come out. None of them believed that he was going to raise again, even though he told them he would. That's the power of unbelief. Even Jesus himself told them, I will come again, I will raise again, I will rise myself out of the tomb. But they didn't believe it. And you and I wouldn't either. But he tells them, you'll live because I live. Now think about that. As the Lord came out of the grave and gave life, they know now, when the Holy Spirit brings these words to them, I live because my Lord lives. That's what we have today. We're no different than the disciples. We have life because He's risen. Because He's alive. And so now, in 26, we see this point. He says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. Now, if that's not a blessing enough, like I said, that would be worrisome to me. If you leave me, how am I going to remember everything you taught me? You say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How am I going to know the way? How am I going to know the truth? Because I'm going to sit in this world and I'm going to see the Pharisees and I'm going to hear what they have to say, and that's going to cloud my mind. How is it today, as a preacher of the gospel, and I stand before you, how is it today that I won't be duped by what the rest of the world says about the gospel? The Holy Spirit. Christ. That's it. That's my only answer. It's by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am fully capable of believing anything any man tells me. And you are too. But the Holy Spirit reveals one thing. He teaches us everything. He shall teach you all things. And I love this next part. And bring all things to your remembrance. I don't have a good memory. But I see perfectly when the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to me. I see perfectly. I see exactly what the Lord wants me to know about Him in that appointed time. He never leaves me in that way. Never leaves me to myself. If we left to myself, you would hear me babbling with a bunch of nonsense and confusion. But the Lord says, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's what the Holy Spirit reveals to us today. I've said it many times. It's not what's going to happen in the stock market. It's not what's going to happen in the future. It's not what's going to happen in the world. It's not going to happen what's in politics. It's not going to happen what's in your health or whatever's in your life. The Holy Spirit doesn't reveal those things. Man's religion does. They'll tell you that. Oh, if you just give this money or you do this, you do these works, the Lord will reveal Himself to you. And as soon as you get the fanciful idea in your head, you believe the Lord's revealed something. There's one thing that the Holy Spirit does. He reveals everything that Christ said. That's how you know if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Is it something Christ has said here in the Word? If it's not, stay away from it. That's how we know if the Lord reveals something to us, it must be substantiated right here. That's what He said here. He will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then He goes into our text. All these things He said, they're peaceful. They're peaceful to me. I hope they're peaceful to you. But He says, these are the things that I leave with you. This is the peace I give unto you. I give it. And then He says, in the next sentence, He says, not as the world gives, give I unto you. So what He tells us in this one little statement is that the world gives peace. Did you know that? People deny that all the time. Oh, there's no peace in the world. Absolutely there is. Jesus said there was. He said right here, He said, not as the world gives. The world does give a peace. We know that peace, don't we? We go to the doctor, we're worried about something, the doctor gives us a good report, we have a peace. We're thankful. We have that peace. We take what the doctor says and we think we're out of the woods when we leave that doctor's office. Money. Financial. Sometimes we're in trouble. Sometimes, and then all of a sudden we get something sent to us or we get some money. We pay those bills. We have peace about that. We get that little bit that we can put back in case something does happen. We start to feel a little bit of peace in I've got a peace of mind. That's what the world calls it. Peace of mind. You got peace of mind. Buy this insurance policy. You'll have peace of mind. That's what the world gives. But Jesus says, that's not the peace I give you. It's not like what the world gives you. In fact, we hear all the time that there's going to be peace here on earth. Is that true? Will there ever be peace on earth? Well, let's see what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 10:34, He said, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. Well, if Jesus said He didn't come to send peace on earth, guess what? There's not going to be peace on earth. I came not to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And don't we see that? Don't we see that today in every country's warring against another, in our communities, wherever we go? There's arguments about everything. The only peace that you as a child of God will have is in Christ Jesus and what Christ Jesus gives you. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. There's no peace in religion. You can go and you can go to church every week. You can give your tithes. You can sing your hymns. You can think and do all the things you do in a week. I read my Bible every day. There's no peace in that. There's no peace in that. There's peace in Christ. Christ can meet me there, absolutely. You know what? He can meet me at work. He can meet me while I'm walking somewhere. He can meet me wherever. That's where my peace is. When the Lord brings Himself to me. There's no peace in religious duties. There's no peace in any of those things. You say, well, why do I do it? Because the Lord tells us here in the Word, that's where He meets us. That's where He says, this is very important. The Word is important. But not as a history book. Not as somewhere to go to say, well, you know, I've got all the answers here. No, hopefully when the Lord brings you to this Word, you're stupid. You're ready to be taught. Lord, what is it that you have in the Word today for me? You know, so many times in my life I've looked at a passage or something and I thought I know what it meant. And then the Lord comes to me and says, hey, what it means? Do you see me in it? And I say, no, Lord, I never have. He says, well, let me show you. And He's faithful to show me Himself. These are the Scriptures that testify of Him and Him only. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. There's never going to be peace in those things. There's never going to be peace between grace and free will. They can't mix. And I think you know that. I think we all know that by now. The two can't walk together. There's never going to be peace between truth and error. You can't compromise. You know, I think as you look in your life, there's some things, especially as you have children and you... The children grow older and they introduce you to things. You start to say, well, you know, I can compromise here. Maybe I looked at that in a wrong way or something. But you can never compromise with the truth. The Lord won't let you. He won't. Even if you try to compromise with the truth, He'll bring you back. He'll smite you. He'll say, no, no, no. That's not the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. And then we have, you know, I think about this. Jesus, when He walked on this earth, did He ever have peace with the Pharisees? Did He? No, He didn't. He didn't ever think about that a minute, that Jesus, as He walked on this earth and the people that He came to, He never had peace with religion, with the religion of that city, the religion of that day that said, this is how you worship God. He never had peace with them. Because they were wrong. And He couldn't walk with them. He would upbraid them. He would tell them. He would correct them. He'd say, no, that's not who the Father is. That's not who the Son is. That's what the Lord said meant when He said, not as the world gives, give I unto you. That's why we have these passages where the Lord said there's wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Because you want to see a wide gate, just go out in the world. Go out and look at the masses and what they're running to. There's a wide gate open for the masses to run into it. But there is a straight gate. There is that narrow gate. And I never like to cheapen what the Lord has done because His people are as the sand of the sea. And they are. There's thousands upon millions of the people of God. But that number is less than what goes into that wide gate. The Lord is faithful to His church. That's what He's sitting here revealing to His disciples. You're going to go out and you're going to meet people. You're going to preach the gospel. I'm telling you the qualifications to do so. There's one truth. There's one truth. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. And then the last part of the text says what? Let not your heart be troubled. You know, I love that three-letter word, let, because I always trace it back to Genesis 1. That's the first time we ever got acclimated to the word let, and it came with power. When God said let, it happened. When He spoke and He said let, it came. Same thing here. When Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, that's the only way it's not going to be troubled. The Lord must speak that to you. Let not your heart be troubled. You and I know, and you can look back just on this week, how many times your heart was troubled. How many times you were fearful. Maybe it was medical things. Maybe it was financial things. Maybe it was things in your family. Maybe it was things in your job. Maybe it was how much trouble we go through. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Well, if he left that up to me, my heart would be troubled every day because I worry about all those things every day. But that's not what he's saying. The let is with power. And when the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, you won't be afraid. So that's the Lord and what he's saying here in this piece. Now, let me tell you something Paul wrote about this piece that may astound you. I've already said it to you once before, and I don't know if it had any depth to you when I said it. But in Philippians 4:7, Paul said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What did Paul just say? I could poll every one of you in this room and I could ask you what peace is. And you could tell me, and we could get a big old board up here, and we could write out all the things that are peace. And Paul said, there's no way you understand what the Lord's peace is. We could write everything down. We could put everything of all of our knowledge we have, and we still don't understand it. That's what that means. It passes your understanding. You're not capable of understanding the peace that Christ has for his people. That's why we worry so much. That's why when we don't worry, when the Lord's presence is there, we know the difference. It's just like I shared with you that guy wrote that song. How could you, after going through all that, how could you sit down and write those words? That's a peace that passes all understanding. You didn't hear grief in that. You heard the Lord minister, it's well with my soul. How do you get there? That's the Lord's peace. That's how the Lord brings his peace to us, and it passes all of our understanding. Because the world's peace, we know that. We know how to attain that. We know that when we hit good news in this world, we have a temporary peace. It flees right out the window when the next trial comes. Right? Absolutely. But Paul said it best. That's what he said. He said, the peace, it passes all understanding, and it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It keeps my heart and my mind. The peace that Christ gives through Christ. That's the peace of God, he called it, that comes through Christ. That's our Joseph who dispenses all the gifts. Our Lord who has everything in Christ Jesus. Jesus said it this way in John 16:33. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In me. He didn't say that in the world you'll have peace. He didn't say that in your family you'll have peace. He didn't say in your husband you'll have peace or in your wife you'll have peace. He didn't say in your job you'll have peace. He says these things, and this is at the end of that communion I told you about, 14, 15, 16, before he went to the Lord's Prayer in 17. He says, all these things I've said to you, at the end of 16, he says, all these things I've said to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He tells us right there, our only peace is in Christ alone. Paul said in Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. He meaning Christ. So let all that sink into you, because that's our opening dialogue. That tells you that Christ's peace is, it is higher than any peace that we know. And it can't be compared to any peace that we receive in this life. So now I've got to ask you three things. Well, not three things. I've got to ask you one thing, but we have three answers to it. What do you want peace for? What is it that you have to have peace in? Have you ever stopped to think about that? And we can talk about the Lord's peace, and we have. We've talked about how great the Lord's peace is. We've talked about Him being our only peace. What is it we want peace with? Have you ever been in touch with your soul? What does your soul say you need peace with? If you're a child of God, there's three things. There's one that's first and foremost above all, and that's peace with God. We must have peace with God. Ever since man has been on this earth, he can look around to the trees, he can look around to the birds, he can look around to the sun, he can look at the moon, he can look at everything and say, there is a Creator. And that God is much bigger than me. I'm small. Every man has the capability to do that. Every man can look up there and see that somehow this world got here and the universes and everything else got here. And every man wants peace with God. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care. You want peace with that Creator. Because the alternative is the one who created all this will use it to destroy you. So man, but the child of God. The child of God, and that's who I'm only talking to here today, because that's who Jesus was talking to. The child of God needs peace with God, first and foremost. You can't have peace anywhere else unless I know I've been reconciled to God. So what is peace with God? Well, Paul defines it this way in Romans 5:1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified means we're not guilty. Justified means this is how we have peace with God. That when God looks at us, He looks at us and says, you're not guilty before me. We know we've sinned before Him. We know we've done things that anger the God of these Scriptures. We have seen the God of these Scriptures destroy men for sin. We have seen them destroy others because of unbelief. And we know that we have unbelief and we know that we have sin. We need peace with God. And Paul tells us that it comes one way. We're justified by faith. That means believing that God looks at us and He says, you're not guilty because I see my Son. My Son died for you. My Son's righteousness is upon you. Therefore, you're not guilty. Your sins have been put away. That's what we have to have. A child of God. The world doesn't care about that. Child of God does. Because He knows sin must be punished. God cannot look at sin. It must be punished. And He does punish it. Now, where is our sins punished? Hopefully, they've been punished in Christ. He took the wrath of our sins. That's what that means. You're justified. You are now not guilty because Jesus paid it all. He paid the debt of your sins. He paid it to the Father. He said, their debt is paid. They are not guilty. That's a legal in court. It says you're not guilty. We have been pronounced not guilty. Free to go. Free to live. That's what we are in Christ Jesus. We have to know that as a child of God. If you find that that's not a question that bothers you, you're in trouble. If you believe you can live your life the way you live your life and whatever you do is acceptable and whatever, blah, blah, you're on the outside. The people of God desire to have peace with God. And that peace is found in Christ because of what Christ, on His merits. This is what Jesus did. This is what, and remember, it's by faith. So faith tells you that Christ died for you. Faith said He died for me. Lays hold of Christ and His perfect salvation. That He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And that He died for me. Justified by faith. That's how we have peace with God. That's what Paul said. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There's one mediator, Timothy says. Well, Paul said it to Timothy. One mediator between God and men. That means one bridge. There's one person in there to take our hand and put it in the hand of God. No one else can do it. No sacrifice, no other man, no works that you do. There's one way, and that's Christ in the middle, our mediator, who takes our hand and joins it and reconciles it with the Father. And how does He do that? He did that by the death of on the cross and the raising out of the tomb. He did that. And that's what He said to us. You now have life. Because I live. That's what He did for us. That's the robe of righteousness that He's put upon us. Nothing we've earned. We can look at all of our sins we've committed just today, if not go back this week and find out even more. But will the Father ever see them? No. Because the Son has died for them and put them away. His blood has covered them. Colossians 1:20, Paul writes, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things," that all things is the church, "to reconcile all things," listen to this, "us," that's us, the church, "unto Himself. By Him," Paul said, "I say, whether the things be on earth, in earth, or things in heaven." There's one way we're reconciled. The saints that have passed that are in the heavens now, and the saints that are here on earth. There's one way, and that's Christ Jesus. The same way that they're justified now, that they're singing in heaven, and glorifying the Lord in heaven, and praising the Lord 24/7 in heaven, is the same way that you and I here on earth are justified, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says right there in Colossians. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. That blood washed away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That fountain is open for us daily. To bathe in the blood of Christ, that's what the Holy Spirit, remember we already told you about His importance. He must come to us daily and say, "Christ has died for you. The fountain is open. Come ye and wash in it." And when the Lord applies His blood and you know you're forgiven, you have peace. There's nothing, the world can't take that from you. I'm forgiven. The Lord's forgiven me. But the other thing we need is peace within. We have peace with God, and that goes hand in hand. Because you're never going to have peace in your soul, and you're never going to have peace within without the peace from God. So they kind of go hand in hand, but one comes first. And that is the peace with God. You must have it revealed to you that Christ has reconciled you to the Father. Turn with me over to Romans 7. We haven't gone anywhere today. Let's see if y'all can... Let's hear those Bibles turning. Pages turn. That's a good sound. Romans 7. Follow me with this. We're going to just pick up at the end. We know Romans 7 is the struggle that Paul reveals that every child of God goes through. I want to know if it meets your case this morning. I want to know if this is what you go through. So we'll just pick up in verse 18. Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing." Have you been shown that? That there's a part of you, that old sinful nature, that there's nothing good in it. Nothing. You can't make excuses for it. You can't say there's anything good in it. Paul said there's nothing good in it. "For to will is present with me." That's the work of the Lord in the new man. That's that will the Lord puts in us because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. The will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Not in myself. Paul's looking at himself. He says, "In me, I have this warring faction. There's a part of me that does wrong. I can't make it better. I can't reform it. For the good that I would, I do it not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." How many of us wake up in the morning and say, "I want to be mean to the person I love. I want to treat them like garbage. I want to be filled with unbelief today. I don't want to trust God. I don't want to do any of those things." None of us desire to do that. We desire to follow Him. We desire to obey Him because of His work in our soul. But in this body of sin that we live in, we can't find a way out of it. And we can't find a way to direct the sin that's in our members that can make it go away. And that's what Paul said. "But sin that dwells, if I find in a law," 21. No, maybe I didn't read 20. "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Even our best things that we do, even if we're helping somebody across the road, we have evil intentions. You say, "Oh no, I'm not that way." Oh yes, you are. That's what the Bible says. Every thought that we have is tainted with sin. Unless it's the mind of Christ. Unless it's the Lord who's put that sin away. We're dependent every moment of our lives. And that's what he's telling us here. He says, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. After Christ in me, I know I want to follow. I want to do everything the Lord says to do. I do. I want to follow in His footsteps. I want to do the things Christ showed me to do. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I want to be long-suffering. All those fruit of the Spirit, I want to do those. But I see another law in my members, in my body, warring against the law of my mind. And it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. This warfare I lose at times. And I do walk the way I shouldn't walk. And I am ugly. And I am disgusting to others. And I am not a good representation of Christ. And I hate that, Paul says. I hate it. And then you could just hear the angst in his soul when he says, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm this wretched person. Who can deliver me? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That body of death is the sin that's warring in us. Who can deliver us from that? You say, gosh, Paul, you're in such despair. You see yourself for what you are. I understand. I've been there. But the Lord doesn't leave us there. Because what does He show us? The Holy Spirit will bring all things that Jesus said, and He'll bring them to your remembrance that your sin has been put away. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I understand I have this warfare. But I thank God I have a deliverer. And I thank God that when He raises this body, it'll be not a vile body filled with sin. It'll be a body conformed to His image. It'll be the same body He ascended into heaven with. This body I'll be done with. I look forward to that day. And that's what Paul says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is condemnation for us walking after the flesh, however. We should have condemnation for the flesh. The flesh is nasty. It doesn't reform and it doesn't get better no matter what anybody says. That flesh will be the same flesh that you live and you die with. But that's okay, because we have the victory in Christ Jesus. That's what regeneration is. That's what being born again is. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He's won the battle and He's won the war because He came out of that tomb. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have that law reigning over me. I don't have the burden of sin over me. I have life in Christ. Remember what He said in our text today? Because I live, you shall live also. That's how we live. We live knowing that the Lord has put our sins away. He's washed them. He's made us clean in Him. And that's how we have peace within. And then, you know how the Lord applies that peace to us? He applies it with questions. You say, what question? Well, just turn over one. Romans 8. Listen to these questions. You want peace in your soul? These are the questions that the Lord asks us in our soul. Look at 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what the Lord says to us. He's risen. He is on His throne reigning for us. And He says, if I'm for you, who out there can be against you? That's peace, dear ones. But that ain't all. He says, He that spared not His own Son, He sent His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Don't you understand? He sent His Son, and now He's given us everything through His Son. Did you see that? How shall He not with Him? It comes through Christ. The Father says, you know what? I raised Him from it. I've set Him up here, and now He's dispensing and reigning over the church every day of their lives, and He has everything they have need of. How can He not? I have given my Son, and now He gives everything that He procured for us, to us. What a Lord! But that isn't it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to say you're guilty? It doesn't matter what they say. It's God that justifies. And we've already heard that we're justified in Christ Jesus. Who is he that condemns you? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God who also maketh intercession for us? Who's going to separate you from the love of Christ? No one. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. No, none of it. That's the question the Lord answers in our soul. The Lord is everything. He keeps us. He preserves us. He is our life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:19, he said, "And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." That's what we just heard. He has reconciled us to God through Jesus Christ. We have now peace with God and we have peace with Him. What else do we need peace with? Be honest with yourself now. Some people say, well, that's all I need. That's all I need. But that's not where you live right now, is it? We live here. We live on earth. So we have to have peace with others. We have to have peace with others. Now I'll say this. We've already said this. If you have peace with God and you have peace in your soul, that is sufficient. Because there's going to be times in this earth you don't walk together with man. But there are God's people here and there are those that we work with and everything else we need to have peace with. What's the answer to that one? Same one. Christ. You want peace with your boss? You want peace? You're not going to do anything worldly to reconcile peace with them. Because it doesn't last. We've already established that today. Christ is our peace. Paul said this in Romans 12:18. He says, "If it's possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men." He is our peace. He provides our peace. All the problems we have in this world and all the interactions we have that are hard for us and that are laborious for us and that they weigh us down, we lay them at His feet. Do you remember what He told His disciples when He sent them out in the world? You can't get any more clearer on this.
Okay, I'll read.
Luke 10:5-6. This is what Jesus said. "And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.'" Whatever relationship you have in this world, wherever you go, whether you go to the marketplace, whether, "Peace be unto this place. I'm coming in peace. I'm coming because I worship the Prince of Peace. He is my peace. I'm coming here today, wherever I'm going, wherever the Lord has sent me, whether I'm on a plane, on a bus, wherever I'm at, if the Lord has sent me here, I'm coming with peace because He's the Prince of Peace." That's the mindset. He said, "Whatsoever, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if the Son of Peace is there, if He be there, your peace shall rest upon it." If His peace is there, if His peace is in that place, if His peace is with you in any relationship you have, whatever person you run into, if His peace is there, He says, "Your peace shall rest upon it." Your peace will be there too. That puts it off of you, doesn't it? Yes, it does. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one who brings peace. He's the only one who could bring peace with people in this world. But does He stop there? Nope. "And if not, it shall turn to you again." You know what that means? There's peace in leaving. Turn your back and walk away from those people. That's what the Lord said. "I'm going to send you out, my disciples. You go into a house, say, 'Hey, peace be with you. Peace be upon this house.' If you get opposition, if the world turns on you, if the world says, 'I don't have any time for you,' you turn around and leave." That goes way against what we hear from the Jehovah's Witnesses. It goes way against people knocking on doors and saying, "I got to persuade you to be a Christian today." No, you don't. Christ knows His and He goes after His and He brings them to Himself. And what does He tell us? How do we live? This is the question. How do we live with others? The Lord tells us, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. My peace will be with you when you speak to that one. If his peace is there, you'll get along fine. You will. That's what the Lord says. Your peace will be there too. But if his peace isn't there, it's not going to go well for you or I. It's not. He's already told you that. He said, get out of there. Your peace will return back to you. Just go on. Get out. Don't. That's not a place for you. Remember, he began this dialogue by telling him he sent them out as sheep among wolves, right? Yeah. So we're told to be very careful. But he is our peace with others. We have to have peace with others. We have people in our workplace. We have people at the marketplace. We have people when we go out to the restaurants. We have people everywhere. We're not. The Lord said, I don't pray, Father, that you take them out of this world, but that you're with them while they're in this world. That's why we don't live in no bubble. We don't live in a tower somewhere. We live in this world. But this is but the maxim we live by is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if his peace ain't there, we shouldn't be there. It's as simple as that. He is faithful to give this peace. David said it this way, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And then we all know this one in Isaiah 26, 3 and 12, I'll read to you. Thou will keep his mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now notice what that says. Thou will keep his mind in perfect. That's the Lord. He keeps our mind and he keeps our mind stayed on him. Steph and I were walking the other day and I said that to her. I said, you know, there's so much turmoil goes on in my mind and things all the time. But when the Lord stays it on him, it may be just for a minute or two. But boy, is that enough. Boy, when his presence is there, nothing else matters. All that other stuff. And then he just sustains me in that peace, knowing that that's the peace that passes all understanding. That's what he's capable of. I think I know peace. But oh, when the Lord gives it, you just that right. Just that rest in whatever he's done and willed for your life. Verse 12 says, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. You've done it all, Lord. You're the reason we have peace. You're the reason we have anything. So today, that's what I wanted to share with you. The three things we need peace in. Peace with God, peace within, and peace with others. I wanted to circle back to say that the Lord is faithful to give peace in all of those areas. And He is the peace that we spoke about at the beginning. Christ is that peace. I'd like to leave you with the words of Isaiah. If you turn with me over to Isaiah 54. Just let me read these words, if you will. Isaiah 54. And we'll just begin in verse 10. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills will be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. That's the Lord's promise to us. He is our peace. He is our peace from fear. He's our peace from anxiety. And then you read all of those precious stones. He said, for all the things and trials you have, this is what I give. I give of my goodness. I give of my greatness. I give of my gifts. My gifts don't compare to what the world gives. And I hope they don't compare in your life. May the Lord reveal to us even deeper today what his peace means. And may we all go from this place in his peace.